Hallelujah. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. In front of him, there was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus spoke to the scholars of the law and the Pharisees, asking, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent. So he took the man, and after he had healed him, dismissed him. Then he said to them, "Who among you, if your son or ox falls into a cistern, would not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" But they were unable to answer his question. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we begin 7 days of prayer through St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, which we'll have through a week from tomorrow. It's by far St. Paul's most warm, positive, affectionate letter. We know how he founded the church in Philippi as a result of that dream he had in Troas, not to go over to modern-day Ankara, the area of Bithynia, but instead to cross over and plant the gospel in Europe. And it's there that he met Lydia and the other women at the river, and she prevailed on him to accept her hospitality. It's there that he exorcised a possessed girl who was making a lot of money for these people who were manipulating her. And he was illegally thrown in jail, and the earthquake happened to free him and Silas. And then the jailer and all his family were baptized and entered into the faith. Philippi was the one church that never gave Paul problems. They received the gospel very, very well, and they responded with extraordinary generosity. In chapter 4 of this letter, which we'll get next Saturday, he'll thank them for always responding to his appeals for the needs of the church in Jerusalem. They were very, very responsive to everything he did. And so, in this letter, no fraternal corrections are needed. There are no major theological issues. What St. Paul is just trying to do is to take them all deeper in the understanding of our true faith. Today, we see that affection that St. Paul has for the Christians in Philippi. He says, "I hold you all in my heart, and I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." That word that's translated here, affection, is the most important Greek word, splankna. Splankna refers to what we would call the viscera, for example, in Latin. In the Hebrew and Greek understanding, it was everything from the large intestine and the liver up through the heart and the lungs. It's considered the real center of a person, where all the emotions come from. It's made into a verb in Greek, splagnizomai, which is generally translated, "Jesus had pity on the crowds." And after that, we know the five verbs that he's done. Out of merciful love, taught, fed, healed, forgave, and asked them to pray to the harvest master, and then chose them to share in the harvest of merciful love. When St. Paul is loving with the splankna of Christ Jesus, he's loving with the mercy of Christ Jesus, and as it's translated here in the NAB, with the affection. It's a love that comes straight from the heart. We see that splankna of Jesus in the gospel. he accepts a dinner invitation to one of the leading Pharisees' house. And it's a setup. This man with edema is present. They want to see if he's going to heal on the night of the Sabbath. And Jesus immediately heals, like he did on other occasions, because acts of love were not banned on the Lord's Day. In fact, the whole purpose of the Lord's Day is to reset us to love God and love neighbor in accordance with how God has made us and willed. So Jesus was loving this person as he healed him. And then Jesus asked that question that cut to the core of the reason why they were outraged. They didn't care about this guy. Jesus asks, if one of your beasts falls into a cistern, would you not rescue the beast on a Sabbath? Not to mention, if one of your sons or daughters fell on in, would you just say, sorry, here's a pillow, we'll come back after the Sabbath is done? No, immediately you do an act of love because you actually care. They didn't care for the man with dropsy. They didn't care for the woman who was possessed by a demon in the synagogue at Capernaum. They didn't care when the apostles with Jesus were starving. They thought that they were loving God, but they were so far from it. And Jesus, with affection and mercy, healed this man of the incredible pain that would come from the retention of so much fluid and the throbbing that he would be experiencing all Sabbath long. Jesus responded with the impatience of someone who cares and loves. Back to St. Paul. We're likewise called to love with the splankna of Christ. For us, I think, many of us, especially, frankly, in the priesthood and religious life, because sometimes our formation strips us from the affection of love. Affection is harder for us than mercy. To really show through our emotions how much others are dear to us, including, as Dorothy Day likes to say to us hauntingly, the affection of love that we have for those that we don't like very much. God wants us to show affection. It's part of who we are. It's part of our integration. We're not chaste if we can't love with affection, because we're not integrated on the inside. And St. Paul was pouring out his heart here in a way that for us has to be a model. Immediately thereafter, he says, this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more. He wanted them to learn how to love by being loved in this mercifully and affectionate way. Earlier in those words that you have heard or will hear when you make your vows, he writes, I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. What is that completion for which he's praying? It's the completion of the receptivity of the Lord's hesed with all its affection, his merciful love, and being so transformed by it that we begin to love others with that same integrated, affectionate love. Every morning we have the incredible privilege of receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus in our splankna, to transform us from within so that we will have our love increase more and more, and so that God can perfect that good work he has commenced. Today we offer a votive mass for charity. And when we pray these words, begging the Lord for the gift of an increase in charity, let's remember that charity is never dispassionate or detached. It's not cold and clinical, but it's full of mercy and affection. That's how Christ loves us. And that's what he means when he says, love one another as I have loved you.